Amen? So let's get the chicken out. And I'm kind of relating this to the whole message is basically based on, as people of faith, we're coming to a point where we have to stand up for what we believe. And it may come to the point where it costs us. But the cost is usually short term. It costs us in the beginning, but if we'll stay with God and what His Word says, we will overcome. Amen? And I'm going to say that sometimes the overcoming doesn't happen in this life.
That's right.
There's examples in the Word where they resisted to the point of death. One of them I read just in my office, it said it brought glory to God. Amen? But they're sure rejoicing in heaven today. Amen? And we're coming to the point where we have to know what we believe and stand for what we believe. If we want the blessing of God in our life, what's the little note I wrote a few weeks ago? I'm not always looking for, the Lord spoke to me in my office, I'm not always looking for sacrifice, but I am always looking for obedience.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? So let's open our Bibles today to the book of Joshua as our foundation scripture. Let's just pray. And I want to say this too, before we pray, just remember as we look at some of these examples, that God is the God of second chances. He's the God of third chances. Every one of us have messed up. Every one of us have screwed something up. But it doesn't have to hold us down. Doesn't have to hold us back. Amen? We can go on. You know, we see here with Joshua. Joshua led the people into a land and conquered Jericho, where 40 years earlier God had told Moses to do that. And the people refused. Well, what's God? The God of second chances. And here he does it, says to Joshua, do the same thing. Amen? God's got a plan. And we'll see other examples. We saw it with Jonah last week. So let's just pray, and then we'll get into the Word, and we'll get through this week. Father, we just come and thank you for your precious Word. We thank you, Lord, that it is our sure foundation. That no matter what we face, no matter what it looks like, when we stand on the Word of God, we stand on the rock. For Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we just thank you, Lord, that as we stand on that Word, as we stand on the rock, it's a sure foundation. And we won't be shaken. Father, the enemy will try, but even as we've sung and declared with our voices this morning, he's already a defeated foe. And as we resist him, he must flee according to your Word. And so, Father, we just give you praise for this Word this morning. I ask, Lord, that you just speak through my lips and think through my mind, Father. If there's things that I didn't have in notes that you once said, Lord, that by the Holy Ghost, you'll bring that forth. And we just give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor for it. In Jesus' precious, precious name, amen. I read, just as I prayed that, about the Holy Ghost bringing thoughts to my mind as I preach. This thought came to my mind, so he's doing it already. I had just read a thing of, the Holy Ghost never speaks of himself. Amen? What he hears in heaven is what he declares to you and I. Amen? Did you get that? What the Holy Ghost hears in heaven, he declares to you and I. So when the Holy Ghost speaks to you about something in your life, he's echoing what he heard in heaven. Isn't that awesome? He's echoing what he heard in heaven. So when he hears it, he's already heard the Father and Jesus talking about you. Because he loves you. Loves you so much. And then he comes and he gives us guidance. He gives us direction. He leads us into the Word that will help us find our answers. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe, the one that in the beginning was hovering over the face of the deep, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, he echoes what he hears in heaven concerning you. How amazing. That's how important you are. Say, I'm important. And I'm getting my chicken out. So, here, Caleb. If you don't want that chicken, pass it on to your brother. If you don't want him, throw him back, just. Say, I don't want my this chicken. I'm getting my chicken out. Barbecue that chicken. Rubber chicken. Amen? So Joshua chapter 1, we're allowed to have a little bit of fun in church. You know that, eh? We don't have to be stiff. Just throw it. Joshua chapter 1, verse, I don't have my glasses, so help me if I get my verses wrong, because I cannot see the numbers. Verse 6, I believe it says, Joshua 1, 6, it says, be strong and courageous. For you to walk courageous, you have to walk, I'm not going to say without fear. Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. You have to walk out life despite fear. Amen. And as you do that, you'll dispel fear. Amen. Because you're resisting it. You're saying, fear, you're not stopping me. I'm doing this anyways. Amen? And God's looking for a courageous generation. You watch some of these war movies. I mean, I watch D-Day, and I watch these young men storming the beaches. Talk about courage. Amen? All right, the chicken's dead. We got a dead chicken. Now you can have them for the barbecue. But you see that generation of young men that had so much courage. It wasn't that they didn't have fear, but they did what they did despite fear and resisted that fear and accomplished the task. So here the Lord's saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall provide the land that I swore, say swore, God swore that he would give it to them. That I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance for his people. But 40 years earlier, the people didn't want to believe God, and so they didn't receive it. Do you know a lot of times we don't receive because we don't believe God? We don't believe what he promised. We don't believe what he swore to do for us. And it's our fault, not his. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous in order to act carefully in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Don't turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you may succeed wherever you go. That's a good thing. Everywhere I go, I want to succeed. And God's giving the instructions of how to do that. Be strong, be courageous, follow my word. Amen? Verse 8, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may act carefully according to all that's written in it. James calls that being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. It's one thing to hear what God says. It's another thing to do what God says. Obedience. Amen? For then, here's the promise, for then you will make your way successful and you will be wise. You don't need a university degree to be wise. You need the word of God to be wise. A lot of people that have university degrees are dumber than a post.
Yeah. Amen.
It's true. Not saying everybody, I'm just saying, that kind of education doesn't necessarily make you wise. Yeah. Corinthians tells us, thinking they're wise, they're actually foolish. And you see that in universities all over the place today. Saying things that they think are wise, but they're totally contrary to the word of God. And so they're actually foolishness. I read a thing yesterday about a school fight here in Toronto. Two grade seven students got in the fight. It was in the National Post. And it said, the school board's own political correctness has come down and collapsed on them because they didn't know how to handle a fight between 2 7-year-olds. Or grade seven kids. And now, I think it was 14 staff members have been suspended over it. because they don't know how to deal with it, because political correctness has got your hands tied in so many ways. But the Word of God has ways, shows answers for how to deal with that stuff. Then you will make your way successful. And you will be wise. Have I not commanded you? It's a question. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember, you're never alone. We're talking about being led by the Holy Ghost and how he's an echo from heaven. Jesus said concerning him, he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he's the one that stays closer than a brother. We're never alone, even when we think we're alone. Amen? So I want to just show you some real life of this. I just am amazed how God does this for me all the time, but he does it every week. And I'm going to read to you a part of an article. And I'm going to, so you guys prayed Wednesday night for government. You prayed for your local MP. Did you not?
Yes.
This is an article out of the Winnipeg Free Press on your local MP here in Wichurch-Stouffville, Jane Philpott. And if you think in terms of what happened to her and to Jody Wilson-Raybould, and I'm not being partisan here, I'm just telling you what happened. Jody Wilson-Raybould said that she had to speak truth to power. Amen? This whole, what we're all talking about here is speaking the truth, even when it costs you. Not bowing to the pressure of what's out there in society, necessarily, but staying on God's side. It's so important. And so here, I'm just going to read a little, I tried to underline and highlight, but I'm not very good on computers, so it didn't work. So I'll just read and go on from there. I'll say this. What are you laughing at? Oh, on my screen. Yeah, that explains all these yellow marks on my screen. I had the privilege, five of us, I think, wasn't it, went to the mayor's prayer breakfast a couple months ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. And afterwards, I had the privilege of meeting her. I went and shared that we had the church here and that I was pastoring and just had a nice maybe minute and a half with her and told her we were praying for her. If she ever needed anything, you know, she could call on us. And we would do that for anybody in any party. Amen? We're here to be a blessing to them. Anyway, and so this is written from a reporter in the Winnipeg Free Press, and it says this, in Jane Philpott's letter of recommendation from Cabinet in March, she said it grieved her to leave, but she went on to say, I must abide by my core values. There can be a cost to acting on one's principles, but there is a bigger cost to abandoning them. Did you hear that? There can be a cost to acting on one's principles, but there is a bigger cost to abandoning them. Since Philpott, my age, is well known as a person of faith, she's a member of the Community Mennonite Church in Stouffville and has served as a missionary doctor in Africa for over years, I was surprised not to find any reporting about these core values and principles of faith and what her role and her faith might have played in shaping them. Surprise, surprise, that it's not out there. And then she says, I began our conversation by noting interviews that she gave in 2015 and 16, so 2015 she became our MP, where she talked about her Mennonite values such as justice, peace, generosity, forgiveness, reconciliation, and looking out for the interests of others. These qualities, she said at that time, were woven into the fabric of my character and will always influence my thought processes, decisions, and actions. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with everything she does, but at least she's standing on a good, solid footing. The reporter then says, I asked her, did these values influence your decision to leave cabinet? She says, the values that grow out of my faith and the teachings of the Christian faith absolutely were a part of how I have always made decisions and when and will continue to make decisions, she told me, adding her to leave, her decision to leave was driven by what my faith has taught me. As for that decision itself, it was absolutely made on principle. I did not feel in the end that I had any choice. My options would have been not to speak the truth or to resign. And not speaking the truth was completely impossible. I want to read this. I asked her what her role in her church played during this experience. Were they supportive? So as you and I are praying, as her and Josie Wilson Raybould are going through this stuff, God's working in the background. And this is what she says concerning her home church in Stouffville. She says, her home church congregation was very supportive. She said, noting one Sunday service during the SNC-Lavalin affair, where members of the church gathered around her, laid hands on her, and prayed that she would have strength. Isn't that awesome? And then she talks about her pastor standing with her. Since her work and travel schedule prevents her from regularly attending services at her home church, her pastor often sends her notes saying the congregation is praying for her and just encouraging her. She went on to say, politics is difficult for anybody, regardless of whether you're a person of faith or not. Anybody who comes to this kind of work with a series of closely held convictions will find that from time to time, they'll be put to the test. So we looked at some stories last week. Today I want to look at a couple other examples, two of them, maybe three. And I just wanted you to see it's still happening today. Amen? Those would not have been easy decisions to make, but the fact that she had them based on the Word of God, she knew she had no other options. And you know what? That's the wise part. It takes away where I have to make the decision, where now the Word of God makes the decision for me. And I believe that history will not have heard the last of these two ladies. You're going to see promotion in both of them, because they were, or especially in Jane now, because she was willing to stand for what the Word said, to speak truth. Amen? You can never go wrong speaking the truth. Ever. Ever. So let me see where we're going here. I'll regroup. I don't even have my notes open yet. Not that I really need them, probably, but. So the first example, and I'm not going to read it again, we looked at last week, was Jonah being sent to Nineveh. Yeah. And him refusing, getting cast overboard, getting swallowed by a fish, the fish spitting him out. And then God, the very first thing, he says, I remembered my vow to God. His vow to God was probably, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Something to that effect. How many of us haven't said that? Hey? Don't put up your hand. How many of us, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And then he tells you what you want him to do, and I'm not doing that. And we go run. And so Jonah ran. And what struck me as I was reading through that and studying it, and I mentioned it last week, is that you see the love of God in this. Not just for Jonah as a person, but for the wicked city of Nineveh. Even though those people were in every kind of sin imaginable, they were brutal, brutal. They would skin their enemies alive. We talked about some of the horrific things that they would do. And I can understand why Jonah had some trepidation about going. Amen? But God sent Jonah because even in the midst of their wickedness, God still loved these people and wanted them saved. He did not want them to die. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Sin will always lead to death, but God's got a way to come over, to overcome that, and that's the gift of life in Jesus. Amen? And so we see that here in Jonah. God sends him to Nineveh, this great city, because God loves these sinful people. The world views God, to a great part, as a God of judgment. But he's a God of love. Amen? He's a God of love. And I made the comment last week, and I say it for all our benefit. Jonah was safer in this city of Nineveh, despite how he saw it, and in the will and in obedience to God than he was in his disobedience. Yeah. He was in a fish 3 days. I'm not sure how long a man can live in a fish. I would think after 3 days, the oxygen supply would be getting low. Unless the fish burps a lot. You know, up, bloop, and okay, I got another gulp of air. I don't know if fish have lungs. They don't, right? Because they have fins, so maybe it goes in the stomach. But I'm not sure how many more days Jonah would have had. So he was safer in the will of God, even though he thought it was an incredibly dangerous place to be, than he was out of the will of God. And that's something for all of us to remember. Amen? When God speaks to us and asks. Matthew 5, we won't go there. You can just note it again. Tells us that we're salt and light in the earth. And Jesus says, if our salt has lost its flavor, what good is it but to be cast out and trampled underfoot? And I mentioned last week that salt adds flavor. Your life in Christ, your being a part of the church should flavor your community. Did you hear that? There should be a flavor on your community because you live in it. And after that, the Lord dealt with me and he said, not only is salt something that adds flavor, and I got that because Jesus said, if salt loses its flavor, what good is it? He said, salt is also a preservative. It's a preservative. And we as the church, being the salt in the earth, should be preserving the ways of God. Amen? People talk about the good old days. I can absolutely guarantee that humankind today on this planet, in our society, would be happier if we lived in the days of Andy Griffin and Leave It to Beaver and what's that? Mayberry. If we lived life like it was Mayberry, society would be happier. Why? Because the values and principles of God were at play in everything they did. Amen? The reason people aren't happy today, the reason people are lost today, you know, partly, you know, we have all these instruments that make us communicate and connect to everybody, but we're the most lonely generation there is because we don't have the interpersonal relationships that God ordained for us to have. Thank God for technology. But it doesn't replace the human connection. Amen? In the ways of God. So we're salt and light. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Well, he was first the light of the world, but his light lives in us as his word lives in us. What? What does light do? It casts out darkness. What does truth do? It dispels lies. So speak the truth. Amen? Not everybody's going to love you for doing it, but speak the truth anyways. Amen? Speak the truth in love. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. When we speak the truth in love, we're speaking the love of God into that situation where sin may abound because we want to bring life. We don't want to bring death. We want to prevent death. Amen? That's what we're called to do. First Corinthians chapter 12, 31. Paul had just gone on. We looked at it last week talking about all the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of how we all function in the body of Christ. And then he said, but I show you a more excellent way. And he goes right into the love chapter of how love acts. Amen? So love never fails. And perfect love casts out fear. Amen? Let me see here. Last week I shared a quote by Dr. Brown. It said, "To fail to speak is to fail to love." Did you hear that? To fail to speak is to fail to love. We see in Jonah that one man could make a difference when he was obedient and listened. One man could make a difference. If you go back to Jonah's book, that whole city turned. Amen? That whole city turned. Jonah had courage. He got his chicken out. He was safer in this mess of Nineveh in obedience than he was in his disobedience. Let's go to Daniel chapter. No, I'm gonna do this different. I might go there if I get there next week. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. I want to give you a New Testament example of this. Acts chapter 12. You getting a little bit out of this? Verse 1. This is the disciples out preaching. I don't know how long after Jesus' death it was, but in verse 4 of this chapter in 12, we see that it was around the time of the Passover, so I'm assuming it's at least a full year after Jesus' death. It might be more, because Jesus died during the Passover, right? So verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "About this time, King Herod extended his hands to harm certain ones from the church." What you and I face in the world today is nothing new. It's happened through all of church history. And all through church history, men and women have had to make decisions to stand for truth and to speak truth, even when it cost them, all right? So I'm sharing this today to say, even if it gets worse, we're not the first ones that God's asking to stand for truth. It's been that way forever. So about this time, King Herod extended his hands to harm certain ones from the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. We kind of read over that, don't we? This could have been a year after Jesus' death only, that now James is killed with the sword. Maybe it was 5 years, I don't know. But James was one of Jesus' close group. He was the brother of John's. It was Peter, James, and John were the three inner circle of Jesus, the ones that were closest to Jesus. Peter, James, and John. And James gives his life very, very quickly for the sake of the gospel. Amen? And he would have been a very, very dear friend of Peter, because those three plus Jesus were always hanging out. So it says, "He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to arrest Peter also. This happened during the days of unleavened bread, when he had seized him. He put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers." One man needs four squads of soldiers? You think maybe they remember Jesus getting arrested in the garden and him just speaking and they all dropped like flies? And they handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church prayed to God without ceasing for him. Your prayers avail much, people. The very night when Herod would have brought him out, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Do you think Peter had his chicken out? If you knew that your best friend or one of your best friends had just been killed by the sword, you're now in jail and the time is ticking, what would you be doing? Would you be sleeping?
No.
You would be if you're at peace. But if you're in fear, that's not going to be happening. So Peter obviously is at peace. There's no fear in Peter because he's sound asleep between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the guards before the door were securing the prison. And suddenly, you can have a suddenly, an angel of the Lord approached him. We commission ministering spirits here all the time to go out and do things. I believe the church was doing that. Amen? And suddenly an angel of the Lord approached him, and the light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side, and he woke him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." I wonder how hot. Peter, come on. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put your sandals on." And he did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and he followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guards, they came to the iron gate leading to the city, which opened to them by itself. And they went out and went forward went forward one street. And immediately the angel left him. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I certainly know that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod, and from all the Jewish people, and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Verse 12, realizing this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. So John Mark, the Gospel of Mark was written by him, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the porch, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, imagine this, from joy she did not open the door, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the door. You just get delivered from prison, now they won't let you into a house where the friends are praying for you. She just was overcome with joy. That's awesome. Then they said to her, "You're insane." I don't know if they were praying in faith when I read a comment like that, but obviously their prayers were having an effect. Then they said to her, "You're insane," but she insisted that it was really so. So they said, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Motioning to them with his hand to be quiet, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison, and he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the other brothers." So it wouldn't have been to James, his friend, it would have been to James, the brother of Jesus. Amen? So we see Peter now in prison for the sake of the gospel because of Herod. He's saying things that government doesn't like, and it puts him behind bars. Back up with me to Luke 22. And I'm going to show you how the word changes a heart. Luke 22 and verse 34. Luke 22 and verse 54. It says, so this could be a year earlier, it could be several years earlier. It says, then they arrested him, meaning Jesus, and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl saw him as he sat near the fire and gazed at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Talk about your past. You can overcome your past, all right? This is Peter's past. A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." About an hour later, another man firmly declared, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was yet speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said and told him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. Peter would have had a rough night. He would have had a rough, rough night. Do you imagine how the devil would have been playing with his mind?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the devil would have been saying, and you thought Judas was bad?
Yeah.
That's what he would have been doing. You thought Judas was bad? Look what you did. We can hardly imagine what Peter would have gone through that night. And the Bible says that a dog will return to its vomit. Amen? And what we see in Peter's life, the very thing Peter's been called of God, I was just thinking about it as we were singing and stuff, about the rock. You know, Jesus asked Peter earlier in his ministry, Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on this rock, on the rock of this revelation, I will build my church, and changes his name from Simon to Peter, which means the rock. And then Jesus goes on to say, Peter, Satan has come to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would hold. Don't you think that this night, after he denied him three times, those things would have been going through Peter's mind?
Oh, yeah.
Amen? Same context of that is where Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You know, we're not supposed to just hold them back, hold them at bay. We're supposed to be pushing them backwards. Bringing society back into righteousness. Amen? And so Peter's, this is the kind of stuff he's thinking through. He thinks, I totally blew the plan of God for my life. God can't use me anymore. And what does he do? Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Peter thinks, I've totally messed up my life. And he goes back to becoming a fisherman. Not a fisher of men, a fisherman. That's what the Bible means when it says a dog will go back to its vomit. It goes back to what it always did. When you see Christians that mess up and Christians that feel like I've blown it, I can't do anything with my life, you'll often see them revert to the very thing that God pulled them out of. All right, just watch. They'll end up going right back into the very thing that God pulled them out of. Why? Because the dog will return to his vomit. So we see Peter fishing. If you want to see a little more detail, John 18 gives more detail on Peter denying Jesus. The last one that said to him, weren't you with him, was actually related to the soldier whose ear he cut off. He says, hey, I saw you cut off my cousin's ear. What are you doing here? And Peter goes, I don't know him. Go with me to John chapter 21. This is the love of God at work. So this is after Jesus has died, crucified, risen from the dead, has spent time with some of the disciples, came into the upper room, revealed himself to Thomas. And here's Jesus walking on the beach. Let's go up to verse 10 of 21. It says, and Jesus said to them, so this is the resurrected Jesus speaking, all right? And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Why? Because Simon Peter was fishing, doing what he always did before Jesus called him. Jesus said to him, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net full of 153 large fish to land. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said, come and eat breakfast. None of the disciples dare ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15, this is where I really want to go. So when they had eaten breakfast, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he asked him, and he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Remember, he had denied him. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you dressed yourselves and walked where you desired. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. What's Jesus doing? Jesus has given Peter his second chance. Amen? Jesus is bringing Peter back into the very thing that he called him to. And from this day on, you see absolutely no fear in Peter's life anymore. I believe one of the reasons Peter was asleep between those two soldiers is because Jesus said to him, one of the last things he said to him, he said, when you're old, someone else will dress you. And Peter thought, well, I'm not old yet, so this can't be it. Amen? There's promises God will give us to hold on to. We sung about one this morning. It's one of my favorite verses out of Hebrews 6. Anchors for our soul. In the hard time, he gives us something to hold on to. A promise. Pastor Irene and I, as we were coming down back from Bracebridge last night, we had Joel Osteen on in the truck. And Joel was talking about what I say here all the time. And in Galatians 6, 9, he didn't use that scripture, but don't get weary in doing well. For in due season you'll reap if you do not faint. In those hard places, God will give you a word to hold on to. He'll show you in his word what to hold on to, a promise to hold on to. And if you refuse to quit, if you refuse to quit, you'll see an end. You'll see it come to pass. He was talking about in Job where God said, there's an end to this. God allows us to go through things to strengthen us, to stretch us. Am I the only one that's been stretched sometimes? No? But what does it do? It causes us to grow. It says, hey, God was faithful in that hard place. He doesn't promise you're not going to have hard places. But he does promise you that you'll overcome those hard places when you stay with him. Amen? And that's where we're at in this day. We're going to face hard places. We're going to face decisions where we're going to want to buckle under and say with Peter, I didn't know him. No, I got nothing to do with that. But if you'll stand firm, watch what God will do. Amen? And if you don't have your reward here, you're going to have it in glory. And it's happening to our brothers all over the world. The Christian faith is the most persecuted faith on the earth today. It's everybody is allowed a voice. Everybody, it's all about equal rights. Everybody is allowed a voice but the church. Because as soon as we say what the word says, we're speaking hate. No, we're not. We're speaking love and truth. Truth and love. And it's what really will set someone free. Amen? So remember that.